This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to a broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated. Kingdom Ministries was created to have an outreach of preaching the gospel to those who have not heard the gospel, to understand those that need to understand what the gospel really is, and to talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was a message on the lips of Jesus. It was on the heart of Jesus. It is central to the scriptures. The kingdom of God is real, and Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and it is the ministry of Kingdom Ministries to get the word out about the kingdom of God and what our future really holds, which is a glorious one for those that believe in Jesus Christ, for the saints, for the church. I'd like to have you get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil, and I'd like to have you write down the passages that we study today, because I want you to be able to go back and to re-examine those passages at a later time. We've been discussing some early Bible stories from the book of Genesis. And last week we talked a little bit about Noah. And I'd like to continue with Noah. So the passages that you would want to write down and refer back to would be from Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8. And I commend those to you for your reading at your leisure to read the story about Noah and the flood. The Bible is true, and the flood did occur. Oh, there are many that might try to say that the flood was in a local area or that the flood didn't occur, but the flood was a global flood. We find that in the sixth chapter here in the book of Genesis, that evil was abounding on the earth. And in verse 3 of chapter 6, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120. Verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." There's always been at least one person that has been found faithful in God's eyes. In this story here, in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, the world had increased in its wickedness so bad that God decided he's going to destroy it, to totally annihilate everything that he had created. All living things were going to be annihilated. It says God was sorry that he had made man, and it grieved at his heart. But even one person made a difference. One person. Verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." One man made a difference then. One man can make a difference today. And in verse 3, it said, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. That is the length of time it is believed that it took Noah to build the ark. And other scriptures indicate that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he was telling the people of what God had in mind. Here's one man, Noah, that found favor in God's eyes. And God instructs Noah in verse 13 of the sixth chapter. He says to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence, and because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. So make yourself an ark of gopher wood." and he tells him to make put rooms in it and how to fix it up and how to make it. And then he tells them he wants them to bring animals into the ark, and he's going to preserve them for when the flood was over. They would be the starting ground, the starting point for God's creation again. And verse 22 says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him." So he did. Noah built the ark. And during this time, if you just can imagine for a few moments what it might have been like. It had never rained on the earth. Earlier in the stories of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, we find that the earth was watered from dew at night. And therefore it had never rained on the earth. And Noah is about to build a boat, build something that is totally out of character for that day, doing something that is beyond the imagination of anybody else. He probably was a laughingstock. Yet he knew that God was going to destroy the world. He was going to destroy man and everything in it. For this is what God had told him. God said, "The end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth." Then he tells Noah to build the boat. So Noah had the advanced warning. And along with his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Noah built this boat for the saving of his family. Then God instructs Noah to bring animals into the ark. And these animals were supernaturally, instinctively within them. They came to Noah. They were not afraid of Noah. And there's an interesting thing we'll notice after this flood is over. The animals came to Noah, and he took the animals into the ark. They came two by two for the saving of all of one species of each of the animals to repopulate the earth after the flood was over. He brought extra animals of some kinds that would be used for food and for sacrifice, but a male and female of each was going to be kept for repopulating the earth when this catastrophe was over. Noah built the ark. And he did so in faith. If you write down the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the faith chapter, and Noah is mentioned in this chapter. We find that Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah did it by faith. Faith, as described in Hebrews 11 and 1, is the assurance of things that's hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is hoping and praying. It's the assurance type hope of something that has not occurred yet, but in firm belief that it will take place. God had called Noah, said, "I'm going to destroy the world." Noah believed what God said, knew that God meant what he said, and followed God's instructions to the letter to build an ark, as Hebrews 11:7, he said, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. The only ones ultimately that were saved in the flood, from the flood, were Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people. Eight people were the only ones saved. Now there's an interesting comparison in Matthew chapter 24, and if you'd write that passage down, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is giving giving signs about the end of time. He says in verse 36 of Matthew 24 that the day and the hour knows no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man, which is Jesus, will be just as the days of Noah. For as those days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. The ark and the saving of Noah and his family is an example used by Jesus in his ministry and saying the wickedness of the world at the end of time will be like it was in the days of Noah. And we look around us and see how wicked the world is, and the end has not come yet. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be so bad that God is grieved at his heart and wants to destroy all of mankind? But one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man, centuries down the road, one man was obedient to the Father. One man, born in a manger, living a sinless life. One man died on a cross, Jesus the Messiah, and he is coming back someday soon. It is that Jesus who we are looking for, and the days of in which we live are getting to be worse and worse, as it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus said his return will be at a time when the world is like it was in the days of Noah. We're getting in that age, that time period. And so it behooves each of us to be prepared for the coming of Jesus and for his soon return. In Jesus' name, may God bless you.